It's Monday. That means we need to check in with our buddy Dick Weiss. Dick Weiss, longtime editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, 30 years, and an editor 20 years in the Metro section. His website, weissright.com. He's our buddy, and he's our media critic. Dick, welcome.
Great to be here.
What do you think of this controversy where they named the executor at your old newspaper?
Well, it's a fascinating subject. I noted that on the jump with that story, there was a long note from the editor.
Yeah.
Asserting the rights to the information. I could practically hear the battle hymn of the Republic playing in the background as I was reading that. And I agree with what they're doing. I think you want to shine a light in dark places. That's certainly a dark place.
Right.
And whether or not this man's conviction on this prior conviction really is relevant is for the reader to decide, but the reader now gets to decide whether that's a useful bit of information.
Now, what about them releasing his name? They basically broke the law by releasing his name.
And the newspapers have done that in the past. The Pentagon Papers is a great example. They were not supposed to release the information in that, and I think history proved them right. The other thing that I thought of as I read that is that the names of jurors are publicly available. We do not, as newspapers, do not print the names of jurors routinely. But if anybody would want to get some retribution against somebody, it might be against a juror more than an executioner. An executioner is doing his or her job. A juror actually has some discretion on guilt or innocence. And rarely do you find that jurors are taken out by people who were seeking revenge.
Do you see Jefferson City saying, hey, wait a minute, you guys can't do this? I mean, are we headed for a big something here?
Well, that'll be interesting. It's a little bit of political football as well, because the Attorney General, who I assume might take up that case, Jay Nixon, he's going to be running for governor.
Right.
I think he'd probably want the support of a big newspaper in town and so on. On the other hand, if you have a law on the books, and it's there, you have to go defend it.
Well, the
Attorney General has gone on cases that I think personally he wouldn't necessarily want to prosecute, but has to because the law's on the books.
And they did it in such a prominent way. I mean, front page, Sunday morning, with an editor's note saying, this is the illegal. However, we're still mentioning this guy's name because we think this law is unconstitutional.
Right. Make my day, buddy.
Right.
You know, go ahead, sue me. Try it.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Watch that closely. All right, so what happened last week in New Hampshire? All your national media buddies got it wrong.
Yeah, looked very silly. Bad day for pollsters. I think even a worse day for pundits, because they just got too far out ahead of the story.
Right.
And they were burying Hillary well before. It kind of reminded me of that movie, what was it, with Glenn Close, who came out of the shower? What was that?
Fatal Attraction?
Fatal Attraction, yeah.
How did Hillary remind you of Fatal Attraction?
Well, Hillary was not dead.
Oh, yes.
And she came back.
Uh-huh.
She came back.
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably...
I was like, where was the dead rabbit in the pot? Well, I missed that story.
Yeah, I probably, if I were running for office, I'm sure I'd be taken to task for that metaphor, but what the heck.
On a side note, that Glenn Close, when she popped up from the tub at the end, they rewrote that because test audience hated the fact that Michael Douglas couldn't kill her. So they changed the ending so that she pops up and then Michael, or no, I guess it was the girl, name will come, the mother, the wife, ends up killing Glenn Close.
Oh.
So
there you go.
A little movie trivia for you there.
Right.
So are they going to do anything different? I mean, basically, is it any backlash from this? Or
on the media?
Yeah, on all the pundits getting it wrong?
You know, maybe there was a backlash simply that when people kept hearing the pundits say that Hillary was dead and gone, that they went out and voted for her.
Right.
Who knows? I don't think they'll ever be able to test for that. But, you know, the media doesn't ever learn. I mean, Dewey defeats Truman, it goes back to 1948, where they continue to get it wrong, get out ahead of themselves. The Post-Dispatch ran an editorial cartoon the morning of Hillary's victory that portrayed her as being crushed by Obama, showing her as an Obama girl.
Right.
And where was, by the way, the note from the editor explaining that?
Yeah.
He went to the mattresses on that one. There was just a mea culpa kind of cartoon, which was very clever by Mattson, that I thought was funny and effective, but really didn't explain why it really was the responsibility of the editors not to run that cartoon and to get in the way of that, and they simply did not do it, and they were asleep at the switch. So no explanation there. No letters to the editor that I could find. Did you see any that responded to that,
yeah,
calling them idiots or stupid or
right,
all the things that they were?
Yeah.
I think people will still get out of themselves. They'll report the polls, and there'll always be the little caveat. Of course, we have to wait till the vote is in and the people have spoken. But that's the reporters want to sound authoritative, and the polls give them some leeway to begin to sound like, when the polls look bad, they can sound authoritative about why somebody's campaign has gone down the chute.
And it's all guess. It's all guess.
Yeah.
It's all guess. Hey, Dick Weiss, hold on a second. Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center. Here's Matt Rowe.
All right, thank you, McGraw. Eastbound 270 between West Florissant and Newhalls Ferry still has a disabled vehicle blocking the right shoulder. MoDOT is on the scene trying to get that cleared up. Brentwood in both directions at 40 will have one lane closed today until 3 due to construction. And westbound 40 from Bellevue to Laclede Station will also have the right lane closed until 4 this afternoon. That's also due to construction. This traffic won't be seen anywhere on Metrolink. In fact, the trains are passing right over and under it. From the Gold Milk Lending Traffic Center, I'm Matt Rowe on the Big 550 KTRS.
Thank you, Matt Rowe. Now, Dick, I know you've been a news editor for the last number of years, but let me ask you this question. You've dabbled in sports from time to time, mm-hmm, and you follow it. On the biggest football weekend of the year, we had 4 playoff teams playing. 4 games, 8 teams, 4
I
teams
watched
playing.
Them all.
Oh, you did? Okay, good.
I watched them all.
Okay, good. Well, then, so you are adequately prepped to answer this question. Why is it that on the biggest football day and weekend of the year is the biggest story whether Tony Romo should have gone to Cabo San Lucas with Jessica Simpson or not?
Well, you know, I watched all the games, but
yes,
I did not have the video of Tony with Jessica and what happened there.
That's because you don't watch TMZ. You get TMZ, you know what's going on.
Yes, and I would like to think that Tony was chased during that period, C-H-A-S-T-E rather than C-H-A-S-E-D, out of the pocket.
Uh-huh.
So that he saved it all for the game, but apparently he didn't. He lost, and so he will have to suffer the consequences.
Did you? Bad boy. Bad, bad, bad boy. Did you see where the New York Post hired a Jessica Simpson lookalike and bought tickets right behind the Cowboys bench and sat her down?
Is that what you get off of TMZ? Is that how you know that?
Actually, I got that off the New York Post website,
right,
which is a must.
Yes.
I think that the Post probably crossed the line there, don't you think?
Yes, but they often do.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
That's what you expect from your New York Post. Now, if the New York Times had done it, that would have been
something else again. That would have been a bigger story. All right. You found a story on Bloomberg that is not too nice about our people here at Lee Enterprises.
Yes, Lee Enterprises, which bought the Post-Dispatch a couple of years ago. They paid $1.46 billion in cash to buy Pulitzer Incorporated. A columnist for Bloomberg News, Jonathan Weil, reports that the stock market value of Lee's stock, remember I said $1.46 billion, the entire Lee Enterprises company is now worth $515 million. So it's a third of simply what they bought the Pulitzer for. And yet, Weil explains and complains that Lee values its assets at much more than that, and in fact claims to have $1.51 billion simply in goodwill on its books. And Weil says that if Lee were being honest with its numbers, that it ought to have a write-down. Now, if it had a write-down, I assume that the stock would not do nearly as well as it's doing now.
The stock went from 48 to 11?
Yeah, it's gone. Well, 48 was about when I left.
Okay.
And I think there's a proximate cause there. I left and the stock
market
tanked,
plummeted.
Right?
I agree.
And
right.
I think I was selling for around 48 at that point.
Right.
And actually, when Lee bought the paper, I think it was around there. And I actually invested in some Lee stock, and I think I got out in the 30s before it went too far south. And now it's 11 or 12, and not doing so well. But it's true of newspapers around the country. Lee is exception.
Have newspapers taken that much of a hit? Other newspapers?
Yeah, many have. Many have, and it remains to be seen how far it will sink. Now a lot of people think they're undervalued at this point. And in fact, Lee had a buyback, saying that its own stock, they believe, was undervalued. And that's often an indicator. I'm not a financial expert at all, but it's often an indicator that when the owners are buying back the stock, that they have some confidence in it.
Right. Obviously, by you buying your Lee Enterprises at 48 and selling it at 30-something means you are no financial expert.
Exactly. I can cite several other plays that I made as well.
Interesting. So there's no chance of Lee going out of business, obviously. But it seems to me the $1.5 billion they paid to Pulitzer was a pretty good buy for them and not so good of a buy for Lee.
The folks at Pulitzer were very savvy, and they have been over the years. They sold their television stations right around the peak on the value of TV, and they get out at the right times. There's no question about that.
$1.5 billion and the whole thing. And they have many other newspapers.
Oh, yeah, all over the country.
Right, so they bought Pulitzer or the Post-Dispatch and all the suburban journals for $1.5 billion, and now they're saying that their value of their company is $500,000.
Jonathan Weil says, whatever the future of newspapers may be, the investing public has little faith in the accuracy of these companies' financial statements. That's a sad commentary for an industry whose mission is to keep other institutions honest. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Weil, Bloomberg News.
All right, what's the best story we've never read?
Well, do you have crickets in your basement?
I don't think so.
But I think many people probably do around the area, maybe in some of the finer homes.
Probably, yes. Yes.
And crickets.
The crickets moved out of the city years ago
right.
when the schools failed.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
right. Yes. And those crickets may have some value because if you were to go to China with your cricket and that cricket happened to be able to sing really well, it could win a singing competition. They have pageants over in China where crickets compete. They also fight crickets, and just like they do, Michael Vick would have a great time in prison if he could get a little pet cricket. They fight them for bet on them, and they have beauty pageants as well for little crickets.
In China,
and this goes back, this is a 7th century tradition. The Chinese have long kept crickets as pets and hobbies, and some of the folks, there's a whole attendant industry built up around them where they buy furniture for their crickets and china for them to eat out of, and it's a whole big thing. I predict it will be here in America shortly. I just can't believe
it. Well, you know what? It sounds like kind of like an ant farm.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Kind of.
And but they get to be kind of loose. You get to keep your ants in that little plastic stuff with the sand and everything. And
right.
These crickets are much more fun. And
so it's a story about how China is.
You might want to harvest your crickets, and the story is in the Los Angeles Times. Very entertaining piece, and you can find the link on weissright.com.
How about that? Crickets in China. All right, that's weissright.com. All right, Dick, great, and we'll check in with you next week.
Okie doke.
Thanks. By the way, buy Berkshire Hathaway. That's a pretty good stock for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Warren Buffett. 1122, Big 550 KTRS.